So glad to be here. How many of you would rather be here than in a cemetery? Amen. Well, if you have your Bibles, turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Can he find 1 Corinthians? Okay, thank you. I appreciate that. You'll never find 1 Corinthians in the songbook you're holding there. You need to get a Bible, sir. You need to get a Bible. First Corinthians chapter 1. And I'm going to start, just for the sake of time, I'm going to start reading in verse 25. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble, are called. Now, do you get what God's saying there? The people that have all the brains, personality, they're not the ones that are called. I don't know about you, but I like that. Well, who does God call? Well, keep on reading. Verse 27. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. That according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. I want to bring you a message tonight entitled, The Influence of One. The Influence of One. Folks, do you believe, now be honest here, don't lie to me. Will you promise you won't lie to me? If you lie to me, I'm going to preach a second sermon online. Do you believe, as you sit here tonight, that you can influence the lives of other people? Now, we say yes. Now, I'm not talking to anybody in general here, okay? We say yes. But I think my opinion from watching a lot of people is that how we live, we don't believe that. How we serve. The lack of ministries that we have shows that we really don't believe that. I want to show you something. I'll tell you what. If you get a hold of this, you won't walk out of here tonight. You'll float out of here tonight. You'll be excited. Listen, you'll be excited about the possibility of God using you. Amen? The influence of one. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the time that we've had already this week. Thank you for the singing tonight. And Lord, I pray now that as we go through this message, that you would help us to understand that there's not a man, a woman, a young person in here tonight that God cannot, that God will not use in ways that we can't even begin to imagine. Lord, give us our great service tonight. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let me ask you something. Has the devil ever slipped into your life and said something like this? God can't really use somebody like you. Anybody other than me? You see, we have this false assumption that God can only use certain types of people. Well, God can only use people that have a dynamic personality. That's a code word for big mouth. Amen? Well, God can only use people that have talent. God can only use people that have a certain education level. God can only use people that are lovable and warm and likable and fuzzy-wuzzy. Like me. Folks, listen, we need to understand something tonight. God has made every one of us different. But He wants to use every one of us. And if we're not careful, we have this tendency of focusing on our negatives. What we don't have. When in fact, there's not a person sitting here tonight that God can't use and God can't bless. Folks, let me tell you something. If you get to the end of your life and you look back on your life and you realize that you've wasted your life, whose fault is it? Yours. You have nobody to blame but yourself. Now here's what I want to do. If you read this passage, in this passage you'll see five qualifications of the type of Christian that God is looking to use. We don't have time to cover all five. Amen? I can. We'd be here till 10 o'clock tonight. Yeah. But in the time we have, here's what I'm going to take just one of them. The one that I believe is the most important. To show you something that maybe you've never seen before. Now, before you say something like this, well, preacher, if you only knew me, if you only knew my background, if you only knew how much I lacked, God can't use somebody like me. Before you say that, look at verse 27. But God hath chosen. You see, folks, understand something. This is God's list. It's not my list. It's not the world's list. It's God's list. Why? Verse 29. That no flesh should glory in His presence. He that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. God says this, I'm the one that chooses. I'm the one that picks. I'm the one that sets the standard. Why? So that in the end, when God uses you, when you allow God to use you, in the end, I'm the one, God says, I'm the one that's going to get the glory. Now, why is that? To show us that someday for all of us, there will be absolutely no excuses for not being used. That's how important this is. God will use every one of us. And so in the time, let's take a look at one. Look down at verse 28. Here's the one I want to concentrate on tonight. Verse 28. Notice what it says. And things which are... You see it there? Last part. And things which are not. Now, what is this? These are people that are nobodies. These are people that are unknowns. These are people that you will never see an advertisement that says, come see here you. But you know what I think? I think someday all of us are going to be shocked when we get to heaven and we find out who the real heroes are. You know what? I think you'll see this here. But you know what I believe where the real heroes are? In churches just like this across the nation. The people that want to have an influence on one. Years ago, there was an unknown Sunday school teacher. What was he? Unknown. Unknown Sunday school. He got his heart challenged to reach people for Christ. But he had a problem. In fact, he had two problems. Number one, he didn't think he knew enough. That fit anybody? And number two, he was scared to death. Does that fit anybody? But you know what he did? He kicked himself in the pants and he went. He walks in to the back room of a Boston, Massachusetts shoe store. Back there in that shoe store was a young 17-year-old boy that worked there. He told him about Jesus Christ and he got saved. Now, here's a question. Does anybody know who that boy was? Help me out. D.L. Moody. Now, most of us know that, don't we? But listen to me. This is just the tip of the... Stay with me. I'm taking you somewhere tonight. This is just the tip of the iceberg. God used D.L. Moody like He's used few other men. In fact, God used D.L. Moody literally to stir up an entire nation. D.L. Moody then went into evangelism. One night, D.L. Moody, early in his career, D.L. Moody was holding a large meeting in Indianapolis, Indiana. The music and the song leading was so terrible, so bad, that D.L. Moody got up and told the song leader to sit down. You don't see that today, do you? Then D.L. Moody looked out onto the huge audience and he said, is there anybody here that can sing and lead music? From way back in the back, a man raised his hand. He said, I can do it. He says, get up here. The man came up, did an amazing job. I mean, he laid the foundation for a great and wonderful service. After the service, the man was starting to go down. Moody called him back. He said, come here a minute. He says, where do you work? The man said, I'm a government officer. In other words, he worked for the government. Moody looked at him and says, well, you're going to have to give that up. Because I've been looking for you for the last 8 years. And so, listen to me, and so began the famous ministry of D.L. Moody and Ira Sankey. Moody and Sankey take a trip over to England. And while they're there, they hear of the gypsies that are living in Epping Forest. You know, it's interesting. I've been over there many, many times. But if you travel over to Europe, the gypsies today are still hated as much as they were back in the old day. Nobody has anything to do with them. But they heard of these gypsies living in Epping Forest, and nobody would ever go preach to them. So Moody told Sankey, he says, hey, let's go to Epping Forest. We'll do a service for the gypsies. They went there. They held a service. After the service, there was just a bunch of little gypsy boys. They're all running around them and everything, just having fun. Ira Sankey reached out and got a hold of the head of one of the little gypsy boys. And he just prayed a simple prayer. May the dear Lord save you and call you to preach someday. And that was it. Years and years later, Ira Sankey is an old man now. One day a young man comes up to him and he says, Mr. Sankey, he said, do you remember a day in Epping Forest when you and Mr. Moody were there preaching and singing and you grabbed the head of a young gypsy boy and prayed that he get saved and get called to preach? Ira Sankey said, well, he said, there's a lot of things that I've forgotten over the years. He said, but for some reason, I've never forgotten that. The young man looked at him and said, Mr. Sankey, I'm that little gypsy boy. His name, Gypsy Smith. Now, if you're not familiar with some of these names, these are great, great preachers. Gypsy Smith. He never went to a day of school in his life. I like that. Huh? And yet he impacted millions and millions of people. While they were in England, by the way, let me just say, Moody was considered crazy by a lot of people back. In fact, he had a nickname, it was Crazy Moody. People thought he was crazy. Moody butchered the King's English. If you've ever read Cranston, I mean, he'd never get out of English 101. But while he was in England, he preached in the pulpit of the great, distinguished, very, very, very proper F.B. Meyer. Anybody ever hear him? F.B. Meyer. I've got his books in my library. F.B. Meyer was the first preacher to take a chance on letting Crazy Moody preach in his church. After Crazy Moody got done preaching, F.B. Meyer went back to his study, opened up his journal. Here's what he said about that. Here's what I'm quoting here. Here's what he said. I sat on the platform this day, and I put my face in my hands and said, "Dear God, if you ever let this uncouth American shut up, I will never let him in my pulpit again." Wow. The next day, F.B. Meyer was having tea. That's what they do over there. He was having tea with his ladies. And he asked one of the ladies of his church how she was doing. She said this, "Oh, Brother Meyer, after I heard D.O. Moody preach yesterday, God so kindled a fire in my heart that I went out this morning and I won every lost girl in my Sunday school class to the Lord Jesus Christ." When that lady said that to F.B. Meyer, F.B. Meyer stood up, went back to his study, opened up his journal again, and here's what he penned. "This morning, I learned to talk the language of my people. I learned the art of winning men and women to Christ, and I owe it all to D.L. Moody." F.B. Meyer went on to write 70-some books, dozens of pamphlets, that were distributed, I mean, in the millions. Are you still with me? F.B. Meyer, who penned the words, "I owe it all to D.L. Moody," now comes to America. When he gets to America, he preaches at the Philadelphia College of the Bible. By the way, that's not far from here. And it's still in existence today. It's not what it once was, but it's still there today. After F.B. Meyer finished preaching, he gave the invitation. There were hundreds and hundreds of people there. But there were also a large number of preacher boys studying to go into the ministry there. And so he gave the invitation, and just generally speaking, he said this during the invitation, speaking to nobody in particular. He said, "Young man, you're here today and you're discouraged. You're ready to quit. Come down now and get it right. Give God another chance to do it through you." Out in the audience that morning was a young, discouraged preacher boy that was planning on leaving, quitting, as soon as that service was over with, and going back home. His name? Wilbur Chapman. Wilbur Chapman, as a young man, sat out there that morning and he said, "I'll do it." And God used Wilbur Chapman to become one of the greatest evangelists that America ever saw. You still with me? Still taking you somewhere? Does anybody happen to know who Wilbur Chapman's assistant was? This was the guy that set up the tent, set up the chairs, cleaned up the trash after the meetings. Anybody know who his assistant was? Billy Sunday. Oh, isn't this amazing? You think this will give you goosebumps just listening to it. Billy Sunday. Wilbur Chapman now decides to return to pastor the same church that he one time had in Philadelphia. So he takes his tent, his chairs, his saw, he takes everything and turns the whole organization over to Billy Sunday. There was a problem, though. Billy Sunday didn't have an education. In fact, listen to me, the only thing Billy Sunday could do was run bases playing baseball. Billy Sunday, I don't mean this in a wrong way, Billy Sunday was so dumb that when they had, a lot of people don't know this, when they had Billy Sunday's ordination, The first three theological questions they asked Billy Sunday, he didn't know the answer. Now, normally that's the death sentence, amen? And so, when he didn't know the answers, the preacher, they're sitting there, they're trying to figure out what to do. And finally, one old preacher says, hey guys, he's already doing more than all of us combined. He said, let's just ordain him. That's how he got ordained. Billy Sunday didn't even know how to make up sermons. So he went to Wilbur Chapman, he says, I got all this stuff. He says, but I don't have any sermons. Wilbur Chapman says, don't worry about it. He says, here, take mine. And for a couple of years, he was preaching Wilbur Chapman's sermons. Billy Sunday would go into a town, and by the time he was done, every saloon, every bar in that town would be closed down. That's the power of God. Billy Sunday now goes to Charlotte, North Carolina. He was supposed to go for a one-week open-air meeting. But during the time that he was there, revival hit. And that meeting went on for another 3.5 weeks. You know, it's interesting. Even though Billy Sunday didn't have an education, Billy Sunday kept meticulous records. If you go to, and I've been here a number of times, if you go to Winona Lake, Indiana, Billy Sunday Tabernacle, and you look at the records that he keeps of people that got saved, I mean, the records are very detailed. And if you look at the records of that Charlotte meeting, there were hundreds of thousands of souls that got saved in those weeks of meetings. Out of the Charlotte meetings came another great evangelist by the name of Mordecai Ham. Ham also became one of the great evangelists that America has ever seen. From Mordecai Ham came many other preachers, many other evangelists. Mordecai Ham one night was holding a meeting, and when he gave the... A young 17-year-old boy walked the aisle and got saved. His name? J.R. Faulkner. J.R. Faulkner was Lee Robertson's, Tennessee Temple University, Lee Robertson's second man. In fact, he's been called the most famous second man in America. On another night, another 17-year-old boy walks the aisle and gets saved. His name? Ron Comfort. How many ever heard of Ron Comfort? Oh, now, yeah. He's still alive today. He's old, but he's still alive. Ron Comfort is the president and founder of Ambassador Baptist College. And God has used Ron Comfort in a wonderful way as an evangelist over the years. On another night, another 17-year-old boy walks the aisle and gets saved. That 17-year-old boy that got saved went on to preach to tens of millions of people. That young man often has been called the pastor to presidents and kings. His name? Billy Graham. Billy Graham, huh? My wife, she gets out of high school. She goes to college. One day she runs into an 80-year-old woman that leads her to the Lord. And as they talk afterwards, that 80-year-old woman says, I got saved at a Billy Graham crusade. My wife then gets on me. Until I get saved. Are you still with me? Now you might say tonight, you might say, preacher, what's the point of all this? I've said all that to say this. A lot of us here tonight, We know the D.L. Moody's, the F.B. Meyers, the Wilbur Chapmans, the Ira Sankeys, the Gypsy Smiths, the Billy Sundays, the Mordecai Hams, the Billy Grahams, the Bill Barons. But here's my question. And if you miss this, you've missed the night. How many of us remember the scared to death Sunday school teacher that got all this started well over 100 years ago? Anybody remember his name? Edward Kimball. Edward Kimball. You see, folks, get this. The world doesn't know Edward Kimball. Most Christians don't know Edward Kimball. But God knows Edward Kimball. And I believe, listen to me, I believe someday, I don't stand up here and propose to know how all this is going to work someday, but I just got an idea. Someday, God's going to look out at the host of Christians. And as He looks out, He's going to say, you big shots, move. And the entire world makes way for an unknown Sunday school teacher by the name of Edward Kimball that got all this started, that impacted the lives of tens of millions of people. That is the influence of one. You believe God made you? Huh? If you believe God made you, then you have to believe, listen, you have to believe God doesn't make trash. God makes treasure. You see, here's our problem. We have a tendency, now be honest here, we have a tendency of looking at the facade of certain types of people. Do we not? You all know what I'm saying? We look at the facade. But we don't see what's behind the facade. You see, it's what's behind the facade that God used. It's not the facade, it's behind the facade. You say, you know, well, it's good to have Dr. Behrens here today. Now, wait a minute. When I say that, what are you looking at? Help me out. What are you looking at? You're looking at the facade. Let me tell you something. I'm not real smart. I know that comes as a shock. Be careful. Hey, I'm not real smart. Let me tell you, I graduated next to last in my high school class. That's cutting it pretty close, amen? I wasn't worth a plug nickel in public speaking. When I was a drill instructor down at Paris Island, I had a lieutenant. He was our company commander, Lieutenant Kayla. And he was a college graduate. And he knew I was getting out of the Marine Corps. And one day I'm walking across the parade ground. Lieutenant Kalen, he runs into me and he says, Sergeant Behrens, he said, are you getting out of the Marine Corps? I said, yes, sir. He said, well, what are you going to do? I said, I don't know. He said, well, have you thought about going to college? I said, sir, no college is going to have me. He said, if they saw my grade, let me tell you something. My discipline record in school, it would have made a mugger proud. Fourth grade. Take a guess how many days I lasted in fourth grade before I got kicked out of school. Take a guess. No. First recess. I'm not kidding you. You can ask my mother. One recess. I'm out. Fourth grade. My discipline, it was that thick. I was always fighting. I told Lieutenant Caleb, I said, my chances of ever getting into a college are slim and none. And Slim's walking out the door. Lieutenant Cato looked at me and he said, if you could go to a college, what college would you like to go to? I said, oh, I said, you know, I said, if I could go to college, there's a school near where I live. Anybody ever hear of Shippensburg University? Yeah, that's what I said, if there's a school, I'd love to go to Shippensburg University. It's near my hometown, Pennsylvania. And, Lieutenant Cannon looked at me and said, oh, he says, okay. He said, we'll see you around. I said, yes, sir. I had no idea what he was going to do. He went into his office, got on the phone, and called the president of Shippensburg University. He got a hold of the president, told him who he was. He said this. He said, I got a young drill instructor down here. He said, he's from your area. He'd love to go to college. But growing up, he was a jerk. That's what he said. Growing up, he was a jerk. He said, but he has matured into one of our best drill instructors. He's grown up a lot. He said, would you be willing to take a chance on him? I had no idea he had this conversation. 2 weeks later, I haven't even applied to college yet. But 2 weeks later, I get an acceptance letter. Hey, you talk about getting into school easy, huh? I get an acceptance letter from the president of Shippensburg, and they accept me on probation. He must have had a sense of humor. Because at the end, he put this, P.S., you sneeze wrong, you're gone. That's what I still got the letter. You sneeze wrong, you're gone. Now, folks, listen to me. Get a hold of this. That's what's behind the facade. I don't have, you know, you see me now, but listen, I'm really not an outgoing type. I'm not an outgoing type person. I'm kind of a shy, private person. You go to preacher fellowships, and Dr. Big Shot walks in. And everybody runs to Dr. Big, you know, I'm comfortable in a corner. Nobody ever asked me to sign their Bible. In fact, I got such a thing over that, when I go to motel rooms, I sign the Gideon Bibles, Bill Barron's. I'm not kidding, I do. You wouldn't believe all the motel rooms around America got my signature. Now, watch. This is the what? The facade. Behind the facade, I could talk about it for an hour. But I just showed you a little bit behind the facade. One night, we're in church. Hadn't been called a preacher or anything yet. Going to Shippensburg. And a preacher preached a message on the fact that God will use anybody, no matter who you are. I'll never forget, during the invitation, leaving my pew, coming right about down here, kneeling down and telling God, God, you already know this, I don't have anything to offer you. I have absolutely nothing to offer you. But God, tonight, I'm giving you the nothing. And I want to see what you can do with it. Now get this, folks. For the last 40 years, God's used the nothing. And you know what He'll do in your life? He'll use the nothing. He'll use what you have in ways that you can't believe. Do you have a nursery here? You've got a nursery here. Come on, you've got a nursery here. Listen. Well, preacher, I just don't have... Why don't you win a nursery? Why don't you get a ministry? Come on, why don't you get a ministry? You can impact lives that way. You can. Well, preacher, I just can't... Why don't you help out in the Sunday school class? Why don't you find yourself a niche, a ministry... in this church and say, God, I don't have anything. But use the nothing to help me to be an influence over others. 17-year-old boy. Back room of a Boston, Massachusetts store. And look what happened. Look at the results. You know what I think? And I'm done. You know what I think? I think in every one of our churches, in every one of our churches, there's somebody like that. Not to the extent, maybe not to the extent, amen? But in every one of our churches, in this church tonight, I believe, there are men, there are ladies, there are young people. If you would just turn the nothing over to God, get over yourself, amen? Quit making excuses. Quit lying to yourself. Quit letting the devil get the victory. And just say, God, I don't have anything, but I'm going to give you the nothing. I'm going to give me a ministry. I want to see what you can do. You know what I think? Two things. Number one, you're going to be shocked at what God can do with your nothing. And then number two, someday you're not going to have to worry about looking back on a worthless, wasted Christian life. Folks, let's allow God to use us. God is not in the business of using PhDs, glib tongues, super. He's not in the business. You know what he's in the back? He's in the business of using people that are nothing. Why? So that someday we can give Him the glory. Because we know we can't do it of ourselves. Amen? Let's let go and give God a chance to do it through us. And you'd be amazed at what He can do. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Folks, let me tell you something. I have no idea. I mean, I don't have a clue as to who has a ministry in this church and who doesn't. I have no idea. But you know what? Everybody can have a ministry. Everybody can have a ministry. You can be an influence on people just by mowing lawns. Did you get that? I just thought of that because he mentioned it, I think it was Sunday or something like that. You can have an influence on people just by mowing lawns. Just by saying, preacher, man, I'm going to take the ministry, I'm going to clean the restrooms. Preacher, I really can't, I have a hard time teaching, but I'll be a Sunday school helper. Preacher, I'll change the diapers in the nursery. How hard is that? Come on, how hard is that? I'll change the diapers in the nursery. Let's quit letting the devil give us excuses. Let's give God our lives and the little bit of talent that we might have. 17-year-old boy, back room of Boston, Massachusetts shoe store. He got saved, turned his life over, and look what happened. And you know what? All these men that I just read you in this line, we're all the same way. Billy Sunday. Gypsy Smith. Never went to a day of school in his life. What's going to be your excuse someday for not being used? I'm wondering tonight, how many might say, preacher, I may not have much, but I'm going to quit using that as an excuse. I may not have anything, but tonight I'm going to take the nothing. And I'm going to turn it over to God. And I want to see what God can do with it. Would you pray for me that I do that? Would you slip up your hand tonight? Just slip it up. Hold up high and I'll pray for you. Just hold up high. Thank you. Appreciate that. Thank you. Put your hand down. Anybody else? Anybody else? Let me remind you again. There was a night when a 25-year-old young man by the name of Bill Behrens came down the aisle. Graduated next to last in his high school class. Had absolutely nothing going for him. But he gave the nothing to God. And it was nothing. And look at what, think about this, look at what God did with the nothing. Look at what God did with the nothing. And He can do that with you too. If we just get over our pride and get over our excuses and just say, Lord, here it is. I'm going to give it to You. I want to see what You can do with it. Use me, Lord. Have you ever done that? Is there anybody else here tonight that would say, preacher, you're right. I may not have much, but I don't want to live a worthless, wasted life. The little I have, I want to turn it over to God and see what God can do with it. Could you pray for me? I'd be able to do that. Anybody else? Just slip it up. Thank you. Another one over here. Anybody else? Just slip it up high enough for me to see and I'll pray for you. Anybody else? Anybody else? Thank you. Another right here. Anybody else? Now's the time to do it. Hey, don't you want to, listen, don't you want to see what God can do? Wouldn't it be sad to miss out on what God has for you? Because you're too stubborn to give God the nothing? And that's what it is. Anybody else, real quick? Anybody else? Slip it up, put it back down, and I'll pray for you. Anybody else? Father, thank You for the time that we've had here this evening. And Lord, I pray that tonight, even as we walk out of here, we'd be thinking about what we could do in this church as a ministry to have an influence over others. Lord, I pray tonight that we'd have some dear folks in here, some young people, some men, some ladies, that would turn the nothing over to God. And then be excited about what God's going to do with the nothing. Lord, maybe even tonight, I don't know, but maybe even tonight, there might be some dear sweet ladies here that maybe on the way out the door, they need to see the preacher and say, preacher, I'll work in the nursery. I'll be a Sunday school teacher. Preacher, I'll mow the lawn for you. Preacher, if there's any way You can use me, I don't have much, but preacher, if there's any way You can use me, preacher, just give me a call. Let me know. I want to see what God can do with my nothing. Lord, help us to make that decision tonight. Of course, in Jesus' name we pray. With heads bowed, eyes closed.